Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that as you listen, you will be encouraged in your journey and that your relationship with Father God will be strengthened and deepened. Here's this week's message from Pastor Claude.
And every year in this time, I talk about legacy. Some of you remember, like for those that were here last year, you probably heard me speak on legacy. I've been speaking on legacy probably for the last 12 years. I didn't look in the past to see how far back, but I know it makes many years that I've been talking on legacy every fall, preparing ourselves for the next year. I remember, and I'm going to go on memory lane here. And for those that were not here, well, just going to give you a little track or a little like the storyline. And for those that were here, you'll probably remember. I might remind your mind. And if you're here for the first time, I don't usually preach this way. But what I want to do today is I want to like spell out or try to share to you the heart of God for the house. But I remember in 2016... Actually, we move into this building. It's going to make 10 years this year. But I remember in fall of 2015, I preached a series on such a time as this. And we were talking on preparing ourselves to what God wanted to do. We were on Pemina, and the church was getting full. We knew that God was on the move. We knew that God wanted us to move forward. At the same time, there was like unknown grounds. We were not too sure how to do it. It seems that the resources, the finances were not there. But we felt God's calling to work on a plan, to draw a plan. And the land was already bought here. And so we prepared ourselves to do that. And what we did is that because we were used to do so many fundraisers, and we were fundraised out. And so we said, what we're going to do is we're going to be speaking on the kingdom of God for the fall, a series of basically seven messages of why we exist and why are we here. If Gospel Mission Church would be removed from southern Manitoba, would it show? Or are we just a gathering place and everybody goes back home and there's nothing that happens in GMC, meaning there's no changed lives? And so we realized that God had planted us here and that God had a call on us, that yes, God wanted to use us to see the progression of God's kingdom. So what we did is we spoke on why we are here and we spoke on the call that God has placed on us, that God made us with purpose and significance. And I remember having one collection. We didn't have fundraisers. We only had one collection at the end of the series, and then we had a supper to celebrate the faithfulness of God. And it was amazing to see the generosity of the people. And I believe that we are in the same place 10 years ago right now. We are in a place where we are full. We don't even know what to do when it comes to next. But we know one thing is that, you know, how many of you like to coast? It's fun to coast, right? And you know, and for me, being in the ministry for a long time, I'm looking at the season, or even a few years ago, even before COVID, when we were looking at building a church, I was looking at, man, do I want to do this, right? Like, I would prefer to coast. Just go with the flow, man. I paid my dues. Just go with the flow. But I can't, because the mission is still on. Like, what we've seen in the last decade, we've seen literally, without exaggerating, hundreds and hundreds of people come alive to God. And you might be one of them that you came alive to God. Well, maybe you come from a religious background, or maybe you were walking in darkness, caught into sin, and God touched you and moved you. And when we look at our community, and when we look at this region, when we look at our province, and we look at our world, we know there's so many that are need to be, that are called, and they need to come alive to God in His kingdom. And so when it comes to the journey of GMC, we need to realize that we're not done. We can't just look back and say, well, this was an amazing journey, and absolutely it was. We saw God's faithfulness. And for those that were there, when we took the leap of faith to do this, to build this, like, it was with fear and trembling. It's like, God, come to our help. And he did. And he was faithful, and he blessed us beyond our own expectation. But I believe that we are here today. We're in the same spot. And now we have to make a decision of what we're going to do. Are we going to plateau and just be happy and just say, hey, we have a full church? Or are we going to say, God, what's next? What do you want to do? And I think it's our responsibility to, as a church, to realize that God has a calling on us. If you look at Romans chapter 12, verse 4, it says, just as each of us has one body with many members. So these members do not have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to one another. So it talks here about doing life together. It talks about the church. And when we look at God speaking in the Old Testament, he spoke to his people. And for sure, when he spoke to his people, it did reach out and speak to individual. But the goal was the people. We live in a time today in the last, I don't know how many years, I would say 75 last years, where we have moved from unity or doing stuff together to individualism. And right now, what has happened is personal calling has trumped over the calling of the church, where I follow my calling, I do what I believe God wants to do, and that's fine. But the reality is that God has placed a calling on a church, and where the church is raising up and sending. And I believe that we got to go back to this principle. When we look at God speaking in the New Testament, when we see the letters of Paul, he's talking to churches. He's not talking to individual. Yes, he is, but in churches. And so sometimes what happens is that we look at the Word of God and we only see God speaking to me, not realizing that God, through these men that were faithful, that laid their life for the gospel, God spoke through them to the church. And I think that when we focus and we live individually from the body of Christ, we can see God work, but we know that God can do way more when we function together, right? So when we look at the letters that were written from the Apostle Paul, it was to churches. And we see churches with pastors, churches with leaders, elders, and a people that were gathering together. It was the replica of the synagogue. The synagogue was implanted after the destruction of the temple, the second temple. And so the Jews got together. And so the church, the ecclesia, the coming out of, is like a synagogue. And what the Jews did, they went into the synagogue. Remember the story of Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus reads Isaiah 61, where he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the good news to the poor, to set the captives free, liberation to the captives, to the prisoners, and sight to the blind. Well, it was in the synagogue. And so when he read Isaiah 61, it was in the body of believers that were Jews. And so when the gospel started to spread in the early church, it was first in the synagogue that was gathering place. But it was God's intention to see local churches be born. And one of the calling of the Apostle Paul was to go and church plant. And so the church planting is still the number one tool to reach soul. It's the most effective platform to reach souls and to see the kingdom of God be established. So when we look at the Bible, we have to admit the place of the local church. We see Jesus walking in local churches in the book of Revelation. When he walked in the church of Laodicea, and it said, buy silver, buy gold, buy ointment from me, buy wool from me, buy gold from me, saying that you're walking on your own, you're walking by your own strength and you're not coming to me. We look at the church of Ephesus and we see the seven churches in the book of Revelation. They're not just messages for us. They were local churches that existed. And Jesus was walking in these churches. So local church are God's idea. And what happened is that we need to understand that there's a collective calling that we have as a church. And sometimes, like I said, my individual calling trumps over the collective calling, and it shouldn't be. The individual calling should walk alongside or under the local church. It should, because that's the way it was in the get-go. You think about the first council when the church leaders came together after the apostle left. They came together, leaders of churches came together and said, okay, there's false doctrine coming away. So let's study the Word of God. And let's form this belief that we call orthodoxy or the Apostles' Creed. It was church leaders that came together. It was churches that of the same mind that said, hey, we need to draw something so that we don't get astray from the Word of God. And so when it comes to the local church, I like to see as a platoon, there's God's army, and there's some amazing churches in our community that we want to celebrate. And that we celebrate, but this is a platoon. We have a calling as a body. And this calling is to see people come alive to God and His kingdom. If you look in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, when it comes to the local church, from the get-go, after the upper room, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, when Peter preached the first message and multitude came to the faith, when Peter and John went to the door called Beautiful, and the beggar was there, and they said, we have no silver, we don't have any gold, but what we have, we give to you in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And there's a multitude that came to the gospel. It was amazing. And it was not like in islands where people did their own stuff. They were brought together. And you find that in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, and the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled in awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles, and all the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possession and goods, and they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple's courts. They broke bread together in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Beautiful picture, right? And praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their numbers daily those that were being saved. So it was not disorganized. It was organized. We see that the early church, the Jerusalem church, overseeing the progression of the kingdom in Israel. And then we see the church of Antioch overseeing and having an influence in the church of Asia, in Middle Asia. And it's amazing to see that. And we see the Apostle Paul calling Titus to select elders in every church in Titus chapter 1, verse 5. The reason I left you in Crete was that you might strengthen what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I direct you. They appointed elders in every town. There was a church, a body of believers that came together. It was not just a body of believers that came together and everybody did their own thing. You see, they came together. And find some elders, raise some elders so there might be accountability, structure, and empowerment. Not to control, not to limit, but to protect and empower. And so I remember 12 years ago when it came to this year, we looked at going into a next building, or we were looking at what was at hand, and we knew that God had a calling on us. And one of the things we did in the fall in 2015, we had Exodus chapter 33 in the back of the church. For those that were not there, it was more like a kind of a A-frame style church, and kind of Lutheran style. And we had this banner in front of the church, not the whole text, but a portion of it, especially verse 15 of Exodus chapter 33. And it says, God is talking to Moses, and they're at Mount Sinai, and God wants to lead the Israelites, but Moses, he says, I don't know how. I don't know how to move from here. And God responds, and the Lord replied, I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you. In verse 15, then Moses said, if you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. How will anyone know that you look favorably on me and on your people if you don't go with us? For your presence among us sets us apart, sets your people and me apart from all the people in the earth, on the earth. And the Lord replied to Moses, I will indeed do what you have asked, and I will look favorably on you, and I know you by name. That's pretty comforting, right? I know you by name. And Moses responded, then show me your glory, your glorious presence. Show me, I need to see you because I can't move if you don't show yourself in my life. But what a great text, right? So we had that on the back of the church, and we're saying, God, we want to do your will, but we understand that if you're not in the mix, if you're not there, it's not going to work. And we're in the same place today. We're seeking God. We want to see your will. We want to see the progression of your kingdom. But we know that if you're not center, if you're not the focus, if you're not the one we long for, then we're off. And Moses was saying that the presence of God was more important than the journey or the destination itself. And that he, Moses, would not move forward without the assurance of God's presence. Is that the case with us individually, right? It is. We can't move forward if God doesn't show up. And this is where we are right now. We are seeking God's presence. Like, I really believe, if I go off my notes here, I'll rephrase this. I've never seen what I'm seeing now across our land. Never seen this. I've never seen this shift that is happening. I remember before COVID, we had some momentum. And when COVID hit, we didn't know if it was a flash flood or something bigger. We didn't have a clue, right? But we were nervous and we were saying, what's going to happen next, God? And right now we're seeing a move of God upon our nation like never before. Like, when I was talking with the MPs, they were saying, there's a quiet revival happening on the hill. And when I talk with pastors from coast to coast, and I have connections coast to coast, and it's amazing what God is stirring up in the heart of the people. We were at the prayer summit on Wednesday. And to see people be hungry and thirsty for God, it's overwhelming. And to see the younger generation, like 35 and below, come here on a consistent basis at prayer summit and seeking God, longing for God, never seen that before. I was talking to Josue yesterday, and he was talking about youth last Wednesday. He said, so how did it go? He said, we had worship time. Kids are on their knees, and they're worshiping God, seeking after God, and we were 130. It's unreal. That's not even counting grow that we're beating all the records. And when it comes to the youth, junior youth, the same thing, and the young adults, there's a move of God that is happening. And I believe that we're called to serve that and say, God, what are you up to? Like we talked about last year, prepare your hearts for battle. And my thought is, if I share my heart to you, wouldn't it be sad for us to see the move of God and not be ready for it? Like, again, I'm just going to put my note aside here. There's a need of 625 pastors for the next 12 years. There's an empty pulpit of 625 pastors a year right now that is in lack of lead pastor, not even assistant pastor, not even church planters. There's a crisis in our nation because there's no one that wants to lead. And so I believe that God is calling us to make a difference. And I believe that God is leading us to stand in the gap and to raise leaders. And so when I look at what's happening upon our land, it's amazing. And when I look at to see people come alive to God and his kingdom, that's what we want to see. And to see people moving from darkness, tradition, religion, and to see them move to devotion. I remember, like we're having baptism service this afternoon. I remember in my teenage year, I got baptized with my dad. And my dad, we were the same, like we got baptized on the same day. We went to the tank together. And I know my dad, he was in his 50s when he got baptized. And I shared the story in the past where my dad was a lumberjack, so he was not a public person. And so he arrived in the tank, and we used to give her testimony in the tank with the mic. At that time, there was no rules, whatever, right? Go in the water with the mic. Doesn't matter if you drop it. Hey, you'll go to heaven sooner. It's all good. And so my dad has this mic and can't really talk because he's emotional. And I don't even remember my testimony, but I remember his. It was genuine. It was so real, but nothing came out of his mouth because he was just undone at 53 years old. And I jumped in the water after him, and it was a huge, huge turn, right? And so I'm thinking about how many people are in need to come alive to God still today. How many people are in need of the gospel? How many people that only know tradition like we did? Did we believe in God? Yes, but he was not personal. He was not real. It was just tradition. It was just religion. It was going through the motion. Was there good morality? Yeah, when it suited us. But it was not devotion. And when God moved in, it rocked everything. How many homes need to be rocked today? You know? And I believe that we are on this mission of making room, right? And to see people come alive to God. I think about Psalm 34, verse 8. It says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Taste and see that the Lord is good." How many people don't even understand what it means? What do you mean, taste and see? Can you take a bite of Jesus? You know, what does it mean to be born again? Like Nicodemus said, do I have to go back in the belly of my mother? Like they don't understand the life and the encounter with Jesus, what it does, where you can experience him, when you can feel him, when you know he's real and personal. It changes everything, right? You look at Psalm 84, verse 10, "Better one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tent of the wicked where it's prosperous." I prefer to be a doorkeeper because the presence of God, the reality of God, is the best thing that I've ever encountered. Better one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. That's a huge statement. You know, it's because he met God. When you meet God, you understand now, this is real. And then the key, it's to nurture that and grow in this and let it change your life. But what an amazing picture of why we're here, right? So amazing, right? And so what we want to do is we want to see the Lord move upon our midst, right? I remember 6 to 7 years ago, we felt we needed to look forward. And that was just before COVID hit, and we were looking at a plan. We were working on making more room. And like I said, COVID hit, and then we didn't know what was going to happen. But man, I look now and I say, God, you're definitely on the move. And I think about Isaiah 54, verse 2. I remember I had this verse on my garage, in my garage door on the south side. I would park my car and I would see this verse every day to remind me that why we were here. And it's Isaiah 54, verse 2. And I shared this before. It was a key verse for the years in the past. It says, "Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent's curtain wide. And spare no expense. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your strakes, for you will spread to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities." In the NLT, it says, "You will be soon bursting to the seams." And that's what we're seeing right now. Make room. Make room so mission can continue. It's not about the building. Like, I've been through 2 building programs. I don't want to go through a third one. I prefer to coast, but I just can't. That's when we meet as an elder board, we say we just can't. We just can't. We got to move forward, even though it's scary, even though I don't have the answer, right? But the reason why we do that is to be able to see mission happen again, right? And so we've been working on the blueprint. We had to redo the blueprint because the first one came out too expensive with all the price that went up in COVID, so we're working on one. It was sent to engineering right now, and we'll have it, I don't know when, but hopefully soon, and we'll be able to present that to the church earlier in next year. But the thing is, our desire is to see God work in our midst, and our desire is to make room when it comes to what God has in store. And when it comes to that, it's like I just mentioned, it's what God is calling us to do. It's like when it comes to raising up leaders, like I said, there's 625 new lead pastor per year that is needed. And can I just stop here? Like, I was worshiping God. I had a row of young guys behind me. Ah, so amazing. See the younger generation. Respond to the call of God. Respond to the call of God. Like, I look at my own life, I would have never been picked by people. I probably would have never had someone tap my shoulder and say, hey, you would be a good pastor. I was a star in the heavens that did not shine. But God had a call upon my life. I had to respond to the call of God. I didn't have to let people pick me, choose me. I just placed myself before God. And there's some of you, you're called to do that. I'll go a little further here. There's some of you that you might be retired or close to retirement. Like I was talking with my father-in-law from Ottawa, and he's married to my mother-in-law, third marriage. My mother-in-law's or two first husband, they died. She married a third time, and he lost his wife, and he has a son. Listen to that. He's around 65 years old. He was working for Post Canada all these years. He decided to do a church plant. 65. At first, I had a little grin. Like, good luck. But then I was so pumped to see someone at 65 years old to say, God, here I am. And he started this church plant. There's some of you, you are in a career right now, and God may ask you to do a change of career. It's a prompting of God or the calling of God. There's some of you, you've been hurt and disillusioned with the local church, and God wants to heal your heart and restore you back in the track of serving him. It's the time. It's the time to respond to God. Like what we did in June of this year, we opened the door, and I didn't do nothing with it because I didn't know what to do with it. I'm opening the door for people that are called by God, come to ministry and all that. And it could have been more specific, but the thing is, I get around 60 people show up on a Thursday night and say, I feel God's call upon my life. I didn't know what to do with that. How do we train? And so we're working, like in September 2026, we'll have two tracks. One for the fivefold ministry, meaning those that are called for ministry, and also another track for church leadership. And that can evolve and become a full-time callee where you go do a church plant or you respond to God's call. But I really believe this is where we are as a church. So exciting. I'm so excited to see what God is doing and what he's up to. And I just want to challenge you with a few thoughts this morning. I challenge you to see that the race is not done. Look at your life. What is God up to? What do you think he's up to? Did you ask him what he's up to in your life? Did you ask him what he wants to do in your life? Did you open your hands up? Did you dare to say, God, I am yours? I invite you to do that. I invite you to become a partner, to be rooted in the house, that you would not just come here and go, but you would make this your house. I like Psalm 52 verse 8 says, but I'm like an olive tree flourishing in the house of God, the church. I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever, that you would be planted in a local church. I also challenge you to invest financially in the house. Like, we can't move forward if there's no partnership in giving. To tithe to the church, to put God first in your giving, to give your first fruit to the Lord. Like, we're opening a building fund because now we're moving forward. And we'll talk more of that at AGM. But to say, God, hey, I want to invest in the future facility. To give out of principle to live by, where you say, God, yeah, you called me to be generous. I invite you to join a ministry and to serve with others. And to give yourself for the cause of the kingdom. There's so many different needs. I invite you to be part of the community where you can grow. And you would come to the Set Free. that you would come to the hearing, God. That when we have a personal, that you come and pray with us to see breakthroughs. I pray that we would all have a yes to him. In Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, that's going to be the verse we're going to focus on next year. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Consecration is not about perfection. It's about posture. Can you see? Say that to your neighbor. Posture. It's posture. It's having a ready and available heart to say, God, you've set me apart. Here I am. Like, I really like the promise, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. I like that so much. God, do amazing things among us. And the Lord responds, well, consecrate yourself to him. And it's us. It's not just me. And God said that to Joshua before he crossed the Jordan. And we see them conquering the Jordan. Such an amazing journey. Was it challenging? Yes. But was it rewarding? Same yes. So my challenge for you this morning, the challenge for us, is that we would prepare our tenth for growth. Isaiah 54. Secondly, that we would structure our ministries to raise up leaders. Proverbs 21, verse 31. Prepare the horse for the battle, because the victory belongs to the Lord. And that we would prepare ourselves individually by consecrating ourselves to him. And what will he do? He will do amazing thing among us. So if you're here for the first time this morning, like, this message is for you. God loves you, God cares for you, and he wants to be in your life. And if you've been here for many years, I believe this message is also for you, is that you place yourself available for God and say, God, here I am. Here we are. Amen. I would ask you to stand. Father God, we're so grateful for what you've done in this amazing journey. We've seen your faithfulness through and through. It's so unreal. And at the same time, Father, our faith is fed, our faith is engaged with the truth that you are still working and alive, and your desire is to see people come to you. That you want to see people come alive to you, that you want to see people come alive to your kingdom, where we're living more than for ourselves, but we're given to the cause of your kingdom. Father, I pray for the work of the Holy Spirit, because we can't even do that on our own. We need the wind and the influence and the move of the Spirit in our lives. But what we pray, Father, that we would be vulnerable, and that we would surrender, and we would have open hands, and we would lay our lives at your feet, and we would say, God, what is mine is yours, and who I am belongs to you. That we would bring to you sacrifices of praise. That we would be a holy priesthood, a holy nation, focused on you. Just pray, Father, that you would have your ways in us, and that you would have your ways in this church as a body, as Gospel Mission Church, that we would run the race marked before us, and that we would fulfill the calling of seeing people come alive to you, and the calling of raising leaders where the kingdom of God is alive in them. Across the border, from the marketplace to the ministry, that we would be given, taken, glad with purpose. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.